At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Bropostles, the only Catholic podcast where we take our faith seriously, but not ourselves. Have you noticed, Patrick, that too many people take themselves seriously? It feels like everybody is bending over backwards to prove how seriously they take themselves.
It's an epidemic, and I'm happy that we on the Crunch Podcast are leading the resistance against seriousness in Catholicism. It's important.
Nothing about this is serious.
People need to learn to chill.
In the liturgy. Calm down.
Who cares?
With the Pope said. Doesn't matter.
I found this picture from 2007 where a bishop is holding a balloon during Mass. You gotta chill.
Yeah, dude, relax.
That's weird. I agree with you. But we got 2007.
God, this is not the time. This is not the time. August is not the time.
No.
That's
February stuff.
When college football is about to start. It's about to be fall. You need to be prepared. Men need to be battening down the hatches to prepare for the fall discourse that's coming, because the women are going to want to go to the pumpkin patch, and you need to be ready for that.
We're ending the era. We're ending sundress season. We're entering cardigan season, mm-hmm. And you need to prepare.
You need to get your barboard jackets waxed and ready. Get your LL Bean boots out. Buff out those cracks in them. I don't know what the problems are with LL Bean boots.
Do boots get cracks? Is that, yeah, okay.
The boots, yeah, they do. But it's about to be a different time, and I think we should all kind of ease into the fall and winter months in the same way that an elderly man would ease into his chair after a nice dinner and flick on.
He's easing into the chair after dinner. He wasn't sitting down.
He's going into the living room, and he's easing
different
down
chair.
And he's turning on a Western movie, maybe Unforgiven by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And he's got a glass of whiskey, and he just kind of gently falls asleep before the second act. That's how nice. We need to kind of how to glide out of the summer. This has been a very high energy summer, I think, by everybody. I think we've all had a very high energy summer. I think we all just need to go like, whoa. That's what I think.
This is the kind of low energy podcast I was hoping for today. I was hoping for something low key, something downbeat. That's what I needed.
I'm here to, and then we can do the upbeat. We can do uppies on the bonus podcast.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So Ethan, how are you doing? How's life?
Oh.
You still want to talk about it?
Well, I mean, there's lots to talk about, but I don't know how much I want to share here and now.
Yeah, it's for the bonus podcast.
There's a lot for the bonus podcast. I just, everything is computer. In the words of the great prophet Donald J. Trump, everything's computer. No matter what I'm doing, day or night, it has to be on computer. I spend more time with this device than I spend with my own family.
I'm on my computer.
It drives me insane. I'm on my computer. I'm Putin. So, yeah.
You are the guy from that TikTok, the shareholder value sweater vest, Patagonia vest guy. That TikTok, it's like, here's my life as a guy with a 30-year-old white man with a white collar job. Mm-hmm. And he's just slowly putting his MacBook in his Patagonia backpack.
Oh, I see. Hub's life.
Yeah, that's you, man.
Dude, did you know that he quit his job to be a content creator, and now he's just like miserably trying to do the same thing but without a job?
That's
so he like rented an office so he had somewhere to go to like sit under fluorescent lights, but he did it working for himself instead of for. It's like, what's the point of quitting your job?
That's the problem with those content creators that get famous for I'm a service employee, like that guy that the guy that has the one joke. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He looks at the camera and
I know exactly.
Plays.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't like retail customers. It's like, okay. Yeah, I hear you, buddy. Most people
are dumb. You know he went on tour?
Really? To where? Like various IKEAs?
Can you imagine sitting for 45 minutes in the dark listening to him just play that music over and over and over again?
There are companies that go out and like convince YouTubers to go on tour. Like there was do you remember that era in 2018, 2019 where all the YouTubers were going on tour?
Yes.
There are companies that go out and like try and get these guys. So they must have moved on to TikTokers.
Nobody's asking us to go on tour. What are we doing?
Nobody's
wrong?
Asking us to go on tour. I don't think I would want to do that. I don't want to travel for extended periods of time. That's not what I want to do with my time. I would much rather talk to you people and answer your questions. I would talk to you, singular, because that's how you're supposed to address your audience on a podcast. You address them one-to-one because it's you, me, and Ethan. We're sitting down. We're having a conversation. You're in your car. You're driving to your job. Maybe it's retail. Maybe it's white collar. Maybe you're driving your Tesla to a fluorescent light office that you've rented, and you're like, I wonder what Patrick and Ethan are going to talk about. I wonder whose questions they're going to answer. And boy, howdy, do I have good news for you. You're about to find out. You have the face that you make when I'm buffering. Am I buffering right now?
Yeah, you've been buffering.
I've been buffering.
You're back.
Yep. That's I really do be buffering. Let me go check the battery settings on this.
Yeah, check the power levels.
All right. Ethan, are you ready to answer some questions?
It's all I've ever wanted is to answer questions.
Oh, man, this one's good. All right. Sorry if this is long, but hear me out. Is it sinful to not want to go to my parish because the priest is Indian?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
finally,
man.
Someone says it.
not sure if this is the vibe for the show, but I decided to write in because the California man truck wreck is going viral. I've seen Ethan reference Kill Tony and Caleb Hammer, both famously racist. So I'm just kidding. So I know he's one of us. I've had thoughts about this. I'm from California.
What does that mean?
I've decided to finish college and decided to move. Living in a place with a lot of immigrants, my high school was not majority white. The culture clash is very real. It wears on you. My sister's car was totaled by illegals without insurance. I have been jokingly grabbed by the arm by a foreign man. It was terrifying. Certain people accidentally cut lines. Where I am from, there's a lot of Asian immigrants from Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, India. As respectfully as I can say, my experience with Indians is extensive. I moved last week and found out my new local parish priest is Indian. He told a story about India for his homily. This weekend, I drove an hour to the next closest parish for mass. I didn't grow up Catholic, but I know a lot of the hierarchy is pretty liberal on the issue. Is it bad that I'm annoyed and don't want to go there because of this? I don't hate Indians, and I want the church to thrive in India. But am I allowed to just want a local parish that is American? Sorry if this sounds bad. I'm trying to be honest. Thank you. Poor guy. He's so scared.
Yet again, we've stumbled across another thing that got me lit up on Twitter years ago.
You know what? I really think this is a non-issue.
What? Having an Indian priest?
A non-issue.
I don't get it.
Non with two A's.
What is that?
It's a kind of Indian bread.
Oh, I don't know anything about it.
Someone
had non bread.
Got it the first time. Five people got it the second time.
We had non bread in the Middle East, so I don't understand what you're talking
about. Is non bread not Indian?
That would be really funny if it wasn't.
It's an Indian restaurant called Non Stop. That's funny. South Asian and Central Asian. I'm pretty sure we had pita bread in the Middle East.
No, non bread Middle East comes up with. It says a billion results. So
pita is simple pocketed flatbread from the Middle East. Naan is from India, richier, chewier, and often teardrop shaped flatbread.
Naan comes from Persia, which is where we were. We were in Iran.
We were not in Persia. We were not in Iran.
I don't know. I might have gone to some different buildings.
Famously different countries. Famously different countries.
I just saw people wearing black and I was like, I'm in the right spot. Let's think about this. I think the whole system is whack.
Yeah.
Because it's some type of weird racket that's going on that I don't know who's in charge of this. This could be the Vatican, like the Pope coming down and saying, hey, the United States, you guys have money and nowhere else has money. in a lot of places. And so we need you to send money to other places. And in exchange of you doing that, you're going to get priests because you have way more people that need sacraments than you have ordinations.
Yes.
So as a result, money goes to Africa, money goes to India, money goes to Vietnam, you know, it goes to all these places. And in exchange for us building churches and schools and supporting the Catholic Church in those places, they send us priests. Now, those priests, by and large, are good and holy men.
Yes.
It takes
a lot to go across the world to serve the difficult church in a different place. Yeah.
It is difficult. Some people act as if these Indian priests are like missionaries, like they're coming to America to be, because America is mission territory. That notion, I think, is laughable, because I have yet to meet, there are maybe some, like your pastor at your church is great.
But he's also in a different scenario.
He
wasn't sent here by his diocese.
Right.
Yeah.
Like none of these guys are saying he was called to America to evangelize to the materialists.
Father John Bosco from my parish was sent from Ghana to Jamaica. He was sent from what we would consider a third world country to an even thirder worlder country. He was sent from Missouri to Arkansas. He was sent from a village in Ghana that, from what I understand, has a DMV. Like he was sent from a village in Ghana that's pretty modern by Africa standards. And he was sent to a place with no running water, and he lived there for 4 years, and he converted all the Rastafarians, and he converted all the Pentecostals. It was cool. And then he moved to America, and he got some well-deserved couch time. But he's also one of the strongest guys I've ever seen in the world, so he's definitely not living the decadent American lifestyle.
Yeah, different scenario. A lot of times these Indian priests, they are, because of how difficult it is, but also because of like Indian culture, Indian society, maybe they feel somewhat lonely. They just kind of don't do too much. Like they go say their masses and they go back to the rectory. They show up at the things that priests are supposed to show up at. They go to the school assemblies and the kids all draw like brown priests on their, you know, papers. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, look, it's Father Tony. And his name's not Tony. You know, like it just, so it is weird to like kind of be turned into like a little, like a mini mascot in a country that you don't, that you're not from. And you don't really have a connection to the people, and you know it's temporary. And then once a year you get up and say, this is my home diocese. Can everybody please put some extra money in the second collection so that my home diocese can get some extra money? And in exchange, we have another Sunday mass.
Yes.
So it's a very weird relationship. And I think it's normal to want priests that understand you and where you're coming from and can be a father to you. Ideally, the Indian priests would, and all priests would strive to be a father to every single person in their parish boundaries and go out of their way to do that. But that's not true for all American priests either, you know? So,
yeah, the priesthood does seem to attract a certain type of guy who really likes to watch TV and not leave the rectory.
Oh, yeah. When the Masters is on, good luck booking a confession.
Good luck trying to get father for confessions at the retreat.
I don't think you're a racist. I'm like, hey, did Father say the 5 o'clock mass? Because if he says the 5 o'clock, then you'd know that he's saying the 11 because that's the schedule. So it's like, oh, we'll go to the 9. Because sometimes when you got two kids, you want to be able to hear 50% of the homily and understand it.
Instead of 0%. Yeah.
Instead of 0%. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that makes me racist. I don't think it makes you racist. I think all of this is fine. I think it's fine to prefer people in this setting that are like more like you, you know, that doesn't mean that you're, it's like the same with dating and relationships. Like it's fine to be like, I want to date a white person. If you're a white person, you know, like there's nothing wrong about that.
Yeah.
We've all just been psyoped in like, if you say anything about racial preference ever, then it makes you this total bigot.
I would just suggest not saying it. Just personally.
Just depends
don't
on,
go like out of your way.
You're around. You know? You have to have a comedy podcast that reaches hundreds. But if it gets any bigger than that,
I will say though, bear in mind, like make sure that you're, you know, separating in your head the kind of person who was sent here. You know what I like they were sent here, you know. So it's like, just give him a little grace, you know?
Yeah. I don't think you should go out of your way to avoid them. But yeah, if there's a Sunday mass that is, and you have the ability to go, like, this is the same if you like want to go to a Latin mass and it takes 45 minutes to get there. It's like, it's not like you're avoiding the Novus Ordo. You're going to something that is better for you with where you're at the moment. You're connecting with the Lord on your Sunday. Okay, that's fine. You know, some priests are annoying. Some priests tell jokes. Some priests are boomers. I also think it's fine to avoid the jokey priests and the boomer priests. Some priests you just want to avoid. Sorry. Sorry,
fine.
Guys.
Okay.
It is what it is. There's a whole big conversation about Indians going on right now, Patrick. Everybody's like, get them out.
Is there?
Yeah. Look at those guys. They did the truck crash.
There's that Shane Gillis joke about, you know, racism. It's like, are you racist? Like, it's like racism is like being hungry. Well, sure, you're not right now.
Right now.
But then a hamburger does an illegal U-turn on the highway and kills a family of three. And then you're like...
And doesn't even react. Doesn't even seem like he cares at all.
Little bit for that because I also don't know how I'd react if I killed three people. You know, like, would you freeze up? Would you know?
I would probably immediately reload the gun I was using and radio the president and say, mission's accomplished, sir. Because the only way I'm killing is for President Donald J. Trump.
I just hesitate to judge immediately by like reactions to things, you know, because like you never know what someone's thinking. But like, you know, again, it's, There's another really good reason why we don't know what he's thinking, because he's not from here, so he doesn't react to things or communicate in the way that we do. And it's crazy.
I think it's fair to say that India is like crazy in how it's set up. Like the
India
caste system
is
wild. Like if you've never heard about it, read about it, like it's one of those things in school where they're like, oh yeah, they kind of do this, and then you quickly.
But it's like they still do it.
And then let's talk about Gandhi. Look, everybody, look over here at Gandhi.
Look at Gandhi.
Look at what Gandhi did. And you're like, oh, yes, Gandhi. And then the Taj Mahal. Oh, it's actually, did you know it's a funeral? It was for
Gandhi,
his wife who died?
Gandhi was against the caste system. Oh, cool. Did he end
did he win?
Anyway, on to apartheid.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's people there that are treated like lower than dirt because of the caste they were born into. And so there's just something fundamentally like different about how they view culture and how they view like human interaction. And so I think that also makes it hard just on a human level when you come from a society that is not like that, like America, which fundamentally has some systematic equality thing going on, some type of Christian something or other going in the Western whatever in the water. It's two vastly different ways of viewing life and viewing people and viewing relationships and like how one should treat someone else and how you treat women and how you treat children and how you treat people who are poor versus how you treat people who are rich. All of that is completely different for someone who comes from that culture, even
how
if they're
driving in traffic,
how you drive in traffic, how
everyone,
you wear flip flops.
Everyone who's seen, when is an appropriate time?
When,
where, and what quality of flip flops do you purchase?
Yes.
You know? Whether or not you wear CVS flip flops when you're driving a big rig. Anyway.
Yeah. So you got to give some grace too, because I would imagine that the priests are also dealing with all of that too. Mm-hmm. So anyway. I hope that answers your question.
That was a great way to start a question. Please start more conversations like that.
Dude, I don't like how somebody said Ethan's one of us. What does that mean? What type of guy do you think I am?
Come on. Okay. Hello. My wife and I have three children, ages 5, 4, and 2. They're all boys and full of energy. My 2-year-old is talkative and does not understand with be quiet at mass. The only thing that gets him to quiet down is taking to the back, which he does not like. And he always quiets down when in the back of the church. This particular mass, he was being a little loud, nothing crazy, so we didn't take him out yet. It was his best behaved mass in a couple of weeks. Halfway through, I hear a loud shush to my left, and I look at my wife and go, did someone just shush us? She shook her head, yes. A few minutes later, my son was getting loud again and got shushed by the same person. elderly woman with her husband, and they were in the pew next to us. I look over at the woman. She looked away before we could make eye contact. Wimp.
Oh, coward. Keep gosh.
Oh, it's you're a big man when the baby's talking. so brave. Uh-huh. So brave when it when little two-year-old, but then when an adult man looks over, you're like, oh, no, I think it was him. I think it was father, actually. He was, you know, how the Indian priests are. I look over at the woman. She looked away. I continued staring over in case they
beast
looked
mode.
Over. Absolutely cool. Has this ever happened to you? Was she shushing my kid? Did she actually think my son would shush when she shushed him? My wife and I don't like confrontation, but I was mad, which is ultimately why I didn't go. I ultimately didn't go confront her because of possible uncharitableness. Love the podcast. Mm. My wife and I have been listening since day one.
Wow, you're so brave.
I'm so proud of you. That's why he was able to stare her down, because he knew the boys will back me up when I inevitably.
He's thinking. He's formulating the podcast question in his mind as it's happening.
He's like, I was just listening to them in the car on the way to church, as everyone should.
I tell you what I would do if a woman shush my kids in the same pew as me. Boom! A right cross.
Pop him right there.
Yes. Oh, I'm laying granny out flat. She's going to be seeing stars. I don't know. I don't think you should assault this woman, but
I disagree. I'm just kidding. I agree.
I don't know. It's part of me feels like I would be like, hey, what are you shushing my kid for? You know? But the other part of me is like, there's been so many times where I've thought, oh, I'm going to say this to this person after mass is over. And then it's like, oh, we got to get Peter a donut. You know, like, let's go downstairs. Let's go get the donut. You know, I don't have time to like go across the church and like accost this man for wearing a hat or whatever the thing is that's upset me that week. Shushing twice is crazy.
That is pretty crazy. At a certain point, you got to be like, it didn't work. So why am I going to do it again? You know?
Yeah. At that point, I think I'm antagonizing my kid to be louder. If I get shushed twice,
I'm gonna give him the noisy toys.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell him no donut, and I'm gonna make him crash. I'm gonna force a crash out in the middle of mass. I'm gonna say no donut. And we're not watching a movie on movie night, and you don't get to see or listen to Little Bear for the rest of the month.
Dude,
I just hit him one after the other. Bam, bam, bam. And you're bald.
L plus bald plus L no plus little bear plus no donuts.
Peter keeps saying things like, we went and visited this house recently and it had a rope swing in the back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even really a rope swing. It was like, it was a rope tied to a tree, like with a frayed rope.
Sure.
Nothing,
that's a rope
nothing,
swing.
It was just a, well,
bridge
just a
to Terabithia.
Yeah. It was a rope. And now he's like, Dada, let's buy the house with the rope. And I'm like, feel free to pick up a paper route, son. And then he just, he asked me again. I was like, Peter, do you have any money? And he kind of thought for a second, shook his head. I'm like, all right, I guess that's it. So that's, I'm constantly reminding my son that he has no crypto, no hoes, no Bitcoin. He's got nothing.
None.
Yeah.
We had problems with Leo in mass for a while. And I was like, it was a daily mass, so I couldn't do the donut. There were no donuts.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I got to do it. He's not listening. So I'm going to take him out back. I'm going to spank him. It's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. And so I took him outside and I popped him once. He went, ow. I popped him and he went, ouch. It was like, he thought it was hilarious. And I was like, this isn't working. And then the other time I spanked him, it was the opposite. I was like, I smacked him. He was like, stop doing that. It was very, I couldn't
that
do
is
it.
That very sad.
I couldn't
yeah.
do it. So it I hard. Tried spanking. It went two directions. And then my mom, who's a behavior analyst for mentally challenged kids, was like, don't do it. It doesn't work. And I was like, all right, I'll take your word for it.
I think you take the old lady out back.
Give her a little what for.
Yeah.
Man. No, I've never had my kids shushed during mass. I don't even think that we've really ever had dirty looks cast at us. We had one guy who used to kind of look mad, and then one time he made some kind of remark to my wife about, oh, this is where all the kids sit. You know, like all the kids are so loud. But ever since then, he's been nothing but nice to me and Leo. So I, maybe he had like a change of heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's because Phoebe stuffed him in a toilet and flushed, probably.
Don't you ever talk to my kid again.
I don't know. What do you say to this woman? What is the most cutting thing you can say to an old lady? The Shawshank Redemption sucks.
Reagan was a president.
Yeah. I wish Hitler would have won because of you.
that's crazy.
What is the foundational thing that you could just make crumble underneath them? Yeah, I don't know. Your kids don't call you because of how you are, not because of something that's wrong with them.
Howdy Doody should have been canceled earlier.
I love Lucy was repetitive and derivative.
Derivative of what?
Just the average Grover.
There was nothing
marriage.
On.
I don't know. I don't think you can say, I mean, you have to be charitable to this woman who's clearly doing her best. But I think you got to call her out. She's old enough. You got to say, excuse me. I don't think it was appropriate for you to shush my kid during mass.
You could help. That's typically yeah. people in the pews near me. They like distract Leo. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, buddy. And he's like,
yeah, I could make him louder. Do you want that?
He's like, if a kid's being loud during mass, you can always like play peekaboo. Cause they'll stop and they'll be like, what's this person doing? And they'll completely forget that they were being loud during mass. They'll just kind of look.
Yeah.
It's a great way to kind of help out.
Take off one of your six bangles that you have on your arms and hand it to the child.
Yeah, take off the brooch. Hand.
Take off the brooch. How about you sell one of your beach houses and give it to the boy?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. The other thing you got to do is you got to sit with a bunch of kids so that you got to develop like this side of the church is the family section. And so people who don't want to deal with that go sit on the other side and it's fine.
That's what we have, you know? But it's a whole liturgy. Like the 9 a.m. at our church is just the kid mass.
The kid
like
mass.
You just know what you're signing up for if you go to the 9. If you don't want it, you go to the 7 or you go to the 11.
That's why the 7:30, that's why it exists. That's what I told the guy when he started he was complaining. I was like, dude, just go to the 7:30. There's no kids there because I'm not waking up to get my kid to mass at 7:30.
No.
He's not going to wake up. I'm not going to wake. Yeah. So
no.
Just go to the 7:30 or the 7 or whatever. All right. Hi. Recently engaged here. My fiance and I were having a discussion on a wedding registry. What would be practical to include? She suggested towels, silverware, plates, a toaster, but I already own all of these things. I'm a guy living alone. I have all the utensils. You don't have the right ones. I hate to break it to you. You have the Walmart ones that come wrapped in a sticker. You're going to have to get new ones. I was like, we have a trash can. We didn't have the right.
No, you did not have a trash can. Yeah.
I'm a guy living alone. My thought was to add something to our registry that is both new and fun. I suggested we go lingerie shopping together and add our favorite item. She doesn't think this is appropriate. It's not. Don't do that.
Yeah,
that's
not.
A bad
Please
idea.
Don't do this.
Please don't go lingerie shopping together before marriage.
Yeah, I understand. There's so much to say here.
If it's she's not the, into it, it's not good.
Like she kind of has to want you to be a part of it. And I think you'll look back after a year of marriage and realize why this is kind of insane, what you're saying to us right now.
You'll be like, that was not.
This is potentially, like, I hate to pull unk status, but like, you just don't understand. You don't get it.
There's really no situation where you should point at something and say, like, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
That something is usually on a mannequin that does not look like your wife.
Yeah.
Or on a person that does not look like your wife.
Yeah.
And so there's no situation where let her do it.
Yeah.
Let her do that. And you also don't want other people going, oh, this is, there's going to be, yeah, I don't want to see that. That's not good. Wedding registry should have no accoutrement related to the marital act.
Yeah, this should be something that like your wife gets from her friends / sisters or whatever at the bridal shower. This is a bridal shower thing. This is not you guys go get it. You guys need to be you need to get a cheese grater. You need to get, you need to focus on, do you want a shower caddy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you be interested in maybe an air fryer or a toaster oven? Which mm-hmm. one would you like to go with? Those are the types of decisions you should be making, not what color / shape of lingerie should we get? Because you know what I mean? It's just, let her figure it out.
Let it, yeah. Just, that's her domain.
And you can, and I'll just say this, it all works out in the end, regardless.
It'll
it doesn't
be okay.
matter too much what it looks like.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Consummation will occur.
Will occur. Don't, God already picked everything out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. God's not your lingerie partner.
Let's just keep Victoria a secret. All right.
Victoria's a secret down in San Antonio. Those big old women eating churros. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Charles Barkley, famous basketball player, commentator, he always makes fun of how big and fat the women are in San Antonio. And he has this, which is That's funny because really he's funny. A big fat guy.
Yeah.
And so he'll say, oh, Victoria's a secret down there in San Antonio.
That's funny.
And he'll talk about the big old women eating churros. And
I will say that. So one time I was a freshman in college, and this guy was like picking out stuff from a wedding registry. And he was like, the only thing left on the registry is a wooden spoon set. Mm. And he was like, it's the cheapest thing, but I have to get it because it's the only thing on the registry. And he was like, oh, I was kind of just like helping him pick this stuff out because we were bored and there was nothing to do. And he's like, it's asking me if I want to write a note. Should I write a note? And I was like, yes. Happy spooning.
Nice. Well done.
Easy. Easy. Anyway, next question.
A whisk. Gotta have a whisk.
Gotta get a whisk. All right. From, I don't know if this person wants to be anonymous. So how would one go about suggesting something like the Freedom Group to a friend? Great question.
Sponsor of the podcast, the Freedom Group.
I have guy friends who have hinted a few times about struggling with porn. It's been a few years since then. I can only guess they're still in the trenches. Is it inappropriate to bring it up? Or should I just pray for them? Is there any decent way to bring it up? How do I do it? Can I pause while you think about answering? Fellas,
yeah, of course.
Under no circumstances is there ever a good or decent reason to hint to a woman that you're not married to that you're struggling with pornography. Keep it to yourself.
This is a girl asking this question?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I assumed it was a gentleman. It changes the calculus. Because if it's a guy, you just go up to him and be like, hey, brother, I want you to do this.
You still following Elon? You need the Freedom Group.
Dude, I blocked him today because of that.
Yeah, me too. That was ridiculous.
Insane. Elon is posting AI pornography now on his right-wing platform, which is slightly frustrating.
Anyway.
Not important. I think if you're a woman, there's nothing you can do, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know if there's, I mean, maybe you could like post about our podcast. Maybe you could invite him to listen to the show. They have great sponsors.
And just maybe
sponsors are so good.
Send him this episode and he hears about it, but now he's going to know.
Yeah.
I love this show.
Their ad reads are so funny. You should listen to their.
Oh my gosh, this ad read. Listen to this ad read for the porn coaching thing, dude. You should listen to it.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth,
baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Now, if anyone gets sent this podcast, they're going to think we're talking about them.
Yeah. It's been a year. He's hinted at it. I don't think you have a responsibility here to do anything other than pray for this person. This is tricky. It's not really your place, unfortunately. And it's one of those things that's like so sensitive that you don't want to accidentally push someone further away. Is there a mutual guy friend that you have that you could bring it up with that person? You know, hey, I heard about this. I don't know if it would be good for any of your, for any of our mutual guy friends. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to make it like a, I know you guys struggle with this, so this would be something for you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's not about one individual. It's like, hey, gentlemen, hey, I heard you, about this if, on the podcast.
Hey guys, I heard about this cool thing called the Freedom Group on a podcast I listen to. I know a lot of guys struggle. So if like, if you guys run into anyone.
Yeah. If you know, and if anybody that could use this,
send them this, you know,
send them this. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's probably your best bet.
Yeah. There's really not much else you can do.
It's hard to be a woman.
It is really hard. Cause you like it. That's the other thing about being a woman is this is true. Even for your own husband, it's like, you can't be like, I think you should do this. It's a lot. There's a lot of like, you got to kind of, hey, the guys are getting together for beers. That's interesting. It's like
crazy
bourbon and Bible study. That's wild.
All the guys are staying home and cleaning the entire house. What's crazy. That all about? What is going on?
I was just reading a news story about how based Giga Chads are giving their wives a foot rub.
I was reading a story about how Willie the Wildcat isn't going to come to our house anymore unless you do the dishes.
You have like an elf on a shelf, but it's from
I heard that they were going to cancel the football game this weekend if you didn't take out the trash. I don't know. What's going on?
That's weird.
No, cancel it.
No, wait. I'll do the dishes. I promise.
I'll do the dishes. Pining, take the trash out.
Pining for my ex after a not-so breakup. My ex and I broke up 2 months ago. Very cordially. We broke up because we were in different seasons of life, and it threw some wrenches in discernment. But we both agreed that neither of us had any qualms of giving it another shot in the future.
Bro saying qualms.
He's down bad. However,
this
since
is not
then,
good. When the boys then, break out the thesaurus for their message, you know it's not good.
Dude, when dudes are waxing poetically in the DMs, that means it wasn't mutual.
Yeah. Syllable count goes way up when the vibes are bad.
Well, qualms is one syllable, but I hear what you're saying.
I need you to be quiet right now.
Or Willie the Wildcat's not coming to your house either.
No.
I can't get the idea of trying to discern this. All right. However, since then, I've had a distinct feeling that we made a mistake. I can't get the idea of trying to discern this with her again out of my head. We're still on great terms. So he wants to date her again. We're still on great terms. We still have conversations every day. You've broken up and you're still talking every day?
What the heck?
I don't think you guys actually broke up. What? We still have conversations every day. Both myself and her are clearly invested in our friendship. It's not like I'm bombarding her with messages. As far as I can tell, we're both in the same season that caused the breakup. I'm starting to wonder if I should talk to her again and give it another earnest go. I'm at the point where I've had enough consistent and persistent thought and prayer of this where I'm going to spend some time in discernment. If you think this is all silly, then tell me. Context, we dated for 4 months. The breakup was due to different seasons. Her being out of college, him still being a student. The whole of the relationship was good. It was just a difference of where they were in their life, etc. Okay. You're still talking every day?
You didn't even really break up.
Yeah, you're so still... What's the difference? Nothing.
This is insane.
Yeah, this is silly. You're just not kissing? It's weird. So Phoebe and I broke up for a week.
This was the worst week of my life, by the way. to make this about me for a second.
This is while the podcast is going on. That's the fun thing about the podcast is that Ethan's had to deal with two of my breakups. Ethan was much easier when he was going through his breakups.
I just drank.
Is that really?
That's all it took? One time.
That's all it takes, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
that's all you need. But when she, like, it was like a week or so, and she came to visit during the week we broke up, and the entire time we were like, we kept accidentally referring to each other as babe.
Whoa.
It was just,
you kept tripping and like kissing each other on the mouth.
And at the end of the week, I was like, we should just start dating again.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was because the reason why we broke up was just kind of like, oh, it's, you know, it's external. You know, it's like, oh, all the circumstances are making it so we must break up. Those are all made up in your head, man. There's really only one reason to break up with someone, and it's I don't love them anymore. Like, we just don't love each other. You know, that's a reason to break off a relationship like that. Is like, okay, well, we just don't. There's no attraction anymore. This is just done. And so, like, because anyway, just it seems like you got to get back together. Stop being dramatic. I'm so glad I'm not in that part of my life anymore. I had someone say that to me when I was in that point of my life, and I was like, oh, it does get easier. Okay, it gets better. No,
it for sure does. What you've basically done is you went to your boss, and you're like, I quit. And the boss is like, all right, you're fired. And you guys, you quit, and you fired. And then the next day you come in, and you're like, what's up, boss? Boss is like, good to see you. And then, like, you keep working. That's like what you've basically what's happened. So it feels like this is a big shift in our, and oh, it's cordial and everything. It's like, you're still talking every day. What? I can't think of anybody that I talk to every day other than my wife.
Yeah.
That's it.
I talk to my kids every day. No, I'm just kidding.
Talk to my kids every day. They talk to me for sure. She's out of college and I'm still a student. You could just quit college and then you'd both be out of college if it's that big of a deal to you.
Also, you still talk every day. I'm assuming, is it long distance? You're going to graduate eventually.
What is discernment even? Oh, I need to discern. What are you talking about? So you can't discern marriage, and now you're trying to discern giving it another go, but you're also thinking about discerning. I think you're psyching yourself out. I think if you guys don't want to date, you should just say, I don't want to date. And then you should leave it at that.
Stop
talking to each other. But if you do want to date, then just date.
No one in their right mind is going to date you if you're still talking to each other.
To your ex.
Broken up.
Oh, yeah. She's my ex. We just talk every day and like we're invested in friendship.
That only happens on TV shows where the actors are getting paid millions of dollars an episode because you can't fire the actor. The friends the friends are still friends. Mm-hmm.
I just date. Oh, it's so difficult to properly discern marriage. Why? It's not. What is there to discern? I don't understand. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's like you just go to class and she goes to work. It's not that different. Like you're acting like this is huge. I'm still in college and she's out of college. So my wife stays home all day and I go to work. We live completely different lives.
We're in different seasons.
And we're married.
I'm a man. She's a woman.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. My wife lives a very different life than I do. If the kids are screaming, I can just go in the other room. But
she wears
screaming
short skirts,
for her.
I wear t-shirts. We're totally different.
Totally different.
You gotta get over this.
I think based on this alone, you guys should get back together. But obviously, keep discerning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep discerning.
Keep writing into podcasts. That'll solve it.
Get back together, you nerds. All right.
This is ridiculous. Come on.
Dating question from Maggie B.
All right.
There's a little kissy face emoji next to it. I don't know if that's from Ben.
That's from Ben to us. Thanks, buddy. Love you,
thanks,
too.
Thanks, dude. I love it. Howdy. I have a dating question. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 months. I'm only in his second relationship. The question is, he seems uncomfortable with physical touch. Made huge progress. He used to be an awkward hugger, but now we hold hands and kiss, and he'll put his arm around me while watching a movie. Still, I feel like he's holding back. He seems to be hesitant to do anything spontaneous, and it's like he needs my approval before he does anything physical. For the most part, I'm okay with where we're at with physical boundaries. But I'm noticing I want more from him physically, like within the chaste boundaries, obviously. I'd love for things to be more natural. Will this improve with time? Is there something I can do? I'm 24. He's 29. He's probably uncomfortable because you're still a child. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's only a 5-year age difference. Not bad. I have talked to him about some things, like when I noticed he was more comfortable with hugging, I made sure to affirm that. We have talked about how sometimes spontaneous acts of physical touch are awkward, and I responded with something to the extent of, it's awkward, but I don't care because I'm comfortable with you and I love you. I just don't know how to communicate that I want more from him without pushing him too far. Thanks.
You are dating
an engineer.
Even better. You've accessed somehow in 2025 a Victorian gentleman, and you've pulled him into the modern day. This is a man who is designed to only visit in parlors for an hour at a time once a week, and you're forcing him to put his arm around you at a movie.
You're disgusting.
How dare you?
How could you?
You are, yes. But get this man a petticoat. There's a big problem with what you're doing to him. He needs to be sickly. He needs to be getting consumption. He needs to be dying. He should not be going out square dancing. He needs to be inheriting his family's vast fortune and dealing with the fact that the person he's been set up to marry is not the person he wants to be with. But instead, he has to hold your hand.
You've stumbled upon you've stumbled upon this man.
What are you going to share?
This is who you've stumbled upon.
You've stumbled upon Timothée Chalamet and Little Women.
Yes.
And I was thinking Mr. Darcy.
I didn't think people were going to recognize Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice. Oh, but you've stumbled upon Timothée Chalamet. Hand. Yes. Yeah. And I don't think I would recognize Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice. But you need to have like a love languages conversation with this guy. Or just yourself, you know,
like my just love language, out. Just so that everyone on the podcast knows, my love language is cash gifts in envelopes mailed to my home address. This is how I receive love the best. It's gift giving, mostly in cash. I will take a Visa gift card if that's all you can get your hands on.
My love language is words of affirmation. That's why I remember every mean thing Ethan has ever said about me.
my love language is acts of service. So if anyone wants to come over, mow my yard, watch my kids.
This is perfect. Everybody gets male love languages wrong because everyone thinks that every man thinks his love language is physical touch because he wants to have sex. And that's
smart.
That's because he has the male, the urge we were talking about last week. He has the male sex drive. This guy, it's just his love language is not, he just doesn't, physical touch is not his bag, and it is yours, and that's okay. And the way that you get someone to do the thing that you receive love more is you do their thing. It's like it's a give and a take. And so it's okay if he doesn't receive love the way, it's okay if he doesn't particularly like physical touch. That's fine. You're also only been dating for 3 months. I remember the first time that I held my wife's hand, it was the most awkward thing in the world. It was like,
it's kind of sweaty and weird.
I was like, we started like swinging, and it was kind of too much of a swing.
Yeah.
You know,
and then it bumps into your leg, you know?
Yeah,
and
it was kind of weird.
What are we doing? Height difference could be weird too. How tall is he? That could be. Kiss, he'll hold hands. He used to be an awkward hugger, but now we hold hands, kiss, and he'll put his arm around me when we watch
a
movie.
Is he kind of lanky? Is he kind of like, is he a lanky? Because every awkward hugger I've ever...
Is he skin and bones?
Every awkward hugger I've ever met has been a really tall, lanky guy.
Mm-hmm. Because if he's tall and you're short, he's probably just trying to make sure that he doesn't like put his groin in your face when you guys
out of all
hug.
The guys I hug, it's the one it's the lanky ones.
What is he shaped like?
Yeah, please send a picture of all relationship questions must
all relationship questions from now on out. You need to include photos.
Undress to your comfort level physique photos of your boyfriend, please. Thank you.
I don't think he probably doesn't want to do it because he just doesn't feel comfortable doing it. And I think it has nothing to do with you. So I'm not going to go so far as to call you selfish because I don't think you're being selfish, but it could be really easy to be very hyper-focused on, I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this. Mm-hmm. But like it just might be a legitimate problem for him. Or it might
part
be a hang
of, part up. Of the curse. Part of the curse of Eve was that God paired every woman with a man who is the exact opposite of her preferred love language. So for every guy that is totally physical touch, he's never paired with a woman who is physical touch. That's just never how it works. And so this is part of your curse that you must bear. I'm sorry.
This is true for, yeah. I think men and I'm going to go so far as to say that men and women are different, and I'll leave it at that.
Boom.
All right, let's end the program. We got to get to the bonus. I need to be in the bonus podcast.
I need to be. I'm in bonus podcast mode. I need to be in bonus podcast.
The
land.
Sun is all down. Right. I'm very tired, and I want to talk to my people. And you can join us for $10 a month at patreon.com/propostles.
If you think this episode is worth a cup of coffee, $10 a month is what it would cost to get to buy us a cup of coffee every episode, and then you get a bonus podcast for free. It is $10. Wow. But bonus if you get four. We have an all back catalog, including our virtual pilgrimage and our movie reviews and all that good stuff over on the Patreon. And so please go to patreon.com/propostles and you can donate at $10 a month.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.